Live from the Ugly Monkey in downtown Indianapolis, this is the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Oh, those guys are back!
With Jason Allen Hammer.
He's always drunk and violent.
And Nigel.
He's the kind of guy you hate till he's inside you.
The Hammer and Nigel Show. Okay, boys, whip out those big, fat microphones.
Are we rolling? Are we Lip Biscuit and rolling circa 1994, 95?
Now Gene Rodriguez is really looking at us like, wow.
Whoa, low budget.
What
we
did
had
I,
a few
yeah,
technical issues
budget.
Tonight.
It's all right.
The Ustream has been knocked out, so we apologize for everybody who was trying to log on to hammerandnigel.com. But the podcast is here. The 50-cent Bud Lights are here.
We're at Ugly Monkey, by the way, downtown on Illinois and South.
More importantly, Gene Rodriguez is here.
Here I am. Here I am.
Now, we've kind of had this discussion before, Gene.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting that deja vu feeling. But
sure.
Most people know you from Wish TV.
Right.
And you're no longer with Wish TV.
Uh-huh.
Was it a good breakup? Was it a bad breakup?
Well, it depends who you ask.
I'm asking you.
It was a good breakup.
Okay.
If we ask Dave Barris...
If we asked
Randy Aulis,
well,
because you grabbed his ass and they fired you, right?
Well, what happened was I don't know if that was why, but one day I grab his ass, the next day I'm out the door.
Which guy has the stash? Is it Aulis or is it Barris?
Barris.
Okay, Barris. I'm sorry, I'm getting the mustaches confused on Wish TV.
No worries.
And I don't know the guy personally, but tell me about Anthony Calhoun, because he seems like the kind of guy that wants to be like Billy Dee Williams constantly. Like the Colt 45.
You just said Billy Dee Williams. I think you dated yourself just now.
I know my cheap beers. And okay. Colt 45... You know, when you grew up watching commercials like that, you know.
It was Calrissian, baby. What
thank you.
You.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
I do, yeah. Well, I think he's a teetotaler, so I don't think he'd be, he wouldn't be holding the Colt 45. But
no Colt 45 for AC.
No, not for AC, no.
That's disappointing. I think a lot of people in TV who are successful, they probably don't drink as much as we do, and that's why we're on...
You're on radio.
A podcast.
Mm-hmm. A podcast.
A barcast. and people like Gene, who's chosen not to drink, even though they're 50 Cent Bud Lights
well,
tonight at the Ugly
I
Monkey.
I had a drink earlier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
You missed out on the big double date that we all had earlier.
Mm-hmm, it was lovely.
Would you have, did he take you to White Castle?
Jillian's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, wasn't that nice?
All right,
we
yeah.
shared a few chicken wings. We, you know, made eye contact a few times.
And in Jean's defense, she said we offered her a beer. She said, no, I'm driving.
Yes,
but
she
did.
But
you have your friend drive,
Coraline, she's
Caroline.
She's going to drive, too.
Carolina.
We're driving to Carolina. My place, and then she's driving up north. Yeah, Carolina.
Now, where do you live? You don't have to be specific, but just the address.
In the Broad Ripple area.
Oh, okay. In the Ripple area.
She lives in Carmel. So
you're clearly the party girl.
Boy, that's dangerous as a television reporter.
Oh, well.
Living in a place so close to the bars.
I think it's not so dangerous as I can take a quick cab ride home, right?
That's a very good point.
Right, but even if you go out there, there's going to be that one a-hole that takes the camera picture, you know, that's like, Gene Rodriguez was drunk at Land Sharks, and you know, there's always that crap you have to deal with.
Do you hang out at Land Sharks a lot, Gene?
No.
Is that? Oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
I will say, do you guys
Land
remember
Land Snarks, as I call it?
Do you guys remember a reporter named Jeremy Rogowski?
Yeah.
Do you remember that guy? Do you know who that is? He was, I think, for Channel 13. That guy was shit faced at Broad Ripple all the time. Now he's no longer a reporter for Channel 13. I don't know where he is or what he's doing, but I can remember seeing that guy. You know,
the way
I can
describe our professions when we work in TV and in radio is we like to work hard, but we also like to play hard. So you're probably going to find a lot of colleagues.
Well said. Social drinkers.
Yeah, but which I don't begrudge them at all. But I always said this when we did live broadcasts from the race when I was with Radio Now. I usually did them with Marco, and we would do live broadcasts. And, you know, we were able to drink on the broadcast and bring a dirty 30-pack of Natty Light and, you know, live it up for 4 hours while we're working.
Oh, no, I've worked with some who went on the air drunk.
You can't just throw that out there.
Oh, wait a minute.
You can't just throw that out there. Come on.
I was about to say that the TV people can't do that. They have to be spot on.
You'd be surprised.
Really? Really? It's Chuck Lofton, right?
It's just like Ron Burgundy drinking scotch before the old opening of the credits.
I heard Chuck Lofton could throw him back. That's just what I heard. I'm not sure.
And I know it's a different station, but I actually have heard this, that nobody tells a better dirty joke than Bob Gregory. I have had people that have interned at 13.
I now look at him differently. Thank you very much.
And they said the jokes and humor that would come out of Bob Gregory's mouth would frighten a fucking sailor.
Now, Bob Gregory's retired. He's doing like commercials for like orthopedic.
He's a great dude. Always does the coach for kids.
Let's be nice. A retirement community.
Oh, okay, yes, the retirement community. Yes. Okay, I thought it was like for some sort of, you know, the
it's
bed that lifts you out. But Bob Gregory is, yeah, he's a legend. But
yeah, he's an Indianapolis legend.
Gene's last day at Wish TV was when?
January 31st. But I did have some time off. I just took time off and I didn't have to work through this ice snowstorm. Thank God. In fact, I watched it.
Right.
All the local coverage.
Now, what do you think of the coverage
cold it
now?
Is. Oh.
Because now you've got that outsider's view. You can watch these stories.
I always had my view, and I voiced it pretty often.
You can talk about these stories now that maybe you wouldn't have liked to have covered when you were a reporter.
That I would have liked to have covered?
That you would not have liked to have covered.
Oh, how about standing in the snow for 7 hours telling people it's cold outside?
How about that one? That's what you would have been doing? I mean, the past couple days, if you were still with Wish TV, you would have...
Oh, I always hated that one. And I would get, you know what's, you know, the viewers knew it because they would say, well, you're telling us not to go outside. Why are you standing out there? Well, guess what? It's my assignment.
Well, that's your job.
So there were their emails of sympathy, you know. But yeah, I felt the same way. I'm like, why am I telling people that are sitting at home, that it's cold outside? They know
that.
Well,
in all honesty, I'm driving to Terre Haute every day for my gig at 105.5
The
River.
You just want
to know how the roads are. I
want to
know. Yeah, I want to know. Tuesday and Wednesday, I was tuning in to who was I watching? Now, and I can say this now that you're not with Wish, but I was watching. I usually turn it on to Fox,
right?
59 here locally in Indianapolis.
That's okay. I've been
morning.
Watching them a lot lately.
So I kind of know what's her blondie? What's her
Angie Gnote?
Angela Gnote.
Yeah, I kind of know Angie Gnote. So I like to watch them in the morning, but I. In all fairness, I'm sure you hated doing it, but I think it actually helps.
And you know what? You look at the Weather Channel.
It works.
No bigger badass than Jim Cantore, and look what their ratings are the highest. Yeah. Hurricanes and massive winter storms.
Well, weather is always a ratings getter. I will say that. Like, if there's a big weather storm and you're out there live, you're going to get people tuning in.
I saw the best video. Did you see? I don't know who it was. It was some guy on the Weather Channel in Chicago. It's at night, and he's interviewing some poor bastard outside. It's snowing, and all of a sudden, it thunders.
Thunder snow.
And the guy goes, I mean, this is the weatherman interviewing some Joe Schmo out on the sidewalk. So, sir, is it cold? And then big thunder. And the guy with the Weather Channel goes, Jesus Christ! Did you hear that? Oh, my God! Wow! It took everything for him not to curse.
Right. And
that's on. Look for that somewhere. Type in weatherman, thunder, snow.
I'm glad you brought up man on the street. I'm glad you brought that up because that reminds me of something I wanted to ask Gene for a long time and I almost forgot. Now I don't know much about the TV industry. I've been a radio dork my entire life. But when you guys do the man on the street segments, true or false, you find the biggest toothless fucking redneck you can find and you put a camera in front of his face.
We actually try not to, but they're the only ones that are willing to talk.
Now have you had to do man on the street before?
Oh yeah. Oh,
just
no,
randomly
if
walk
you've ever
to somebody?
Done this for more than 2 years, you've done a man.
I saw a brutal man on the street yesterday with Kevin Rader on Channel 13. He was in some grocery store at like 7 o'clock in the morning. I was up at like 7 o'clock in the morning and Kevin Rader's the guy with the glasses, right? He's kind of the goofy looking guy with the
13.
Wearing like a Channel 13.
Note to self, cancel the Kevin Rader appearance on the barcast.
Is he booked next? Come on, what? So anyway, he's walking through this grocery store. He finds some poor bastard. Looks like he just got out of bed. Sticks a camera and a mic. I mean, it's one thing just to stick a microphone in your face, but he's got a camera with the light in this guy's face at the grocery store. And this guy, what's his face? Kevin Rader's asking him all these questions, and the guy's just giving him one-word answers. Yep. Sir, what do you got there? What do you got there in your grocery cart? Groceries.
I mean, maybe it's just Indiana.
What?
But
he goes, are you prepared? Yes.
It always
seems
like you find the worst possible situation, whether it's somebody that just woke up, somebody that's got streaks in their drawers or something, you put a mic right in their face.
Unfortunately, they're the only ones that'll talk. Think about it. If you have any brains in your head, you're not going to talk at 7 in the morning. You just woke up. You don't want anybody to see you on TV.
Did you do the morning?
I did that for many years.
What time did you get up?
I would get up at 2:30 in the morning. I'd have to be at work by, I'd have to be at work by 3:30. And then we would go on the air at 5 when I worked there. So I would have to turn her story around and go live from somewhere.
So what's the prime time shift that everybody wants in local news media? I mean, is it the morning show? I mean, because in radio, that's like the prime time.
Right.
Radio, you want to be the morning show.
It used to be the evening newscast was prime time.
Like what?
The 11 o'clock?
6 o'clock newscast. But because people start coming home later from work and they get up earlier, then the morning has shifted to where you really want to get
viewers. Well, Fox 59 is just doing crazy.
Their news 18 hours a day.
It's like 4 o'clock in the morning.
4:30 till 10 o'clock in the morning on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow.
They're ones to watch because they're really, when I say that, I say they're building a lot of viewers. They're doing really well.
So before we talk about what you're doing now, because you're still involved in media,
mm-hmm.
It's just a different form of media. Tell me a good Wish TV story. Now, you don't have to name names. You don't have to call anybody out. But there's got to be a good story everybody talks about in the office. Like, oh, Jesus, do you remember that day Debbie Knox came to work without pants?
Speaking of Debbie Knox, do you remember her doing a live shot out in front of a portalette out in Fisher's because they thought somebody had a heart attack in the portalette?
No.
She still laughs about it. They sent her out on a live shot. She's like the main
anchor. She's the franchise, right?
Yeah. And they sent her out on this live shot at 10 o'clock at night because they thought somebody had died in a portalette of Fisher's. Her live shot was standing out in front of a portalette.
What about you? What was the final straw for you? Was there a gig you had to do?
Oh, there were several asked to do that I was like, this isn't really me.
You've been at Wish for a while, though. Like Nigel said, there had to be
Seven and a half years.
There had to be something to where you said, you know what, this isn't fun for me anymore.
Well, there are several things that made me say this isn't fun anymore. But, I mean, you know, we've gone through management changes. At first it was good, and then I realized there were a lot of changes being made that I didn't really agree with. And then when, you know, you're asked to do a story that you don't really believe in, but you have to do it because your boss is telling you, then you have to ask, why is your integrity being in question?
Like the portalette story.
Yeah. I would never go and stand in front of a portalette because some guy had a heart attack in the portalette.
Hammer, so, I just picture Veronica.
But that really wasn't it.
I just picture Veronica Corningstone and Anchorman Legend of Ron Burgundy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I will not go do this cat show.
No more cat fashion shows.
It was a cat fashion show.
No more.
See, I would be the guy walking out of the portalette. Can I be on TV? Yeah. I would be that guy that everybody would want to interview, the redneck with no teeth.
We talked about that one for quite some time. That was a couple years ago that Debbie was out in front of the portalette.
Okay,
Fishers.
So what about you? What about where?
We keep coming back.
Speaking of portalette,
I really wanted a career change. You know, in radio and in TV news, you come to a point where you just got to do something different.
Hey, that's pretty tough. I mean, that's a pretty tough transition because everybody wants to be on TV, and you're turning around and turning in your resignation.
Well, evidently now everybody can.
Let's
think about
it.
That's a good
point.
I mean, there's YouTube. There's
cable access.
Pretty much everybody can be on TV if they wanted to be, right?
Right, right, right.
So, it's just a much different business than when I first studied it. I actually got a degree in this, and then I went and started in it, and I worked my way towards this market. And when you're seeing that this, you know, things are changing so much that at this point, you know, if you have a camera and you've recorded yourself on camera for about a year, then maybe you might be qualified for the same job that it took me quite some time to get.
I was going to say, it seems like now, as long as you're a hot chick or a buff-looking guy, you could be dumber in a box of fucking rocks and move on. No. And unfortunately, it seems like
John Stairs on TV.
Okay.
Hey, and then
with the exception, but look at the Fox News channel. I mean, I'm pretty much a red guy. I'm pretty much a Republican, but I will admit a lot of the chicks on that channel are just there because they're good looking.
They're hot blondes and they know how to read off the teleprompter.
Exactly. And somewhere there's somebody that's got tremendous skill that may be a little bit older in the tooth, long in the tooth, that's not getting the gig.
So now wait a minute. Are you done completely with TV?
TV news? Well, not with TV. No, I still do commercial work or print, and then
but as far as TV news,
TV news, yeah.
Really?
Wow. Yes, I am.
I have a question, I was thinking about this on my way in, Hammer, because I work in Terre Haute, and we work in the same building. We share a building with Channel 10 News in Terre Haute. And Terre Haute's a pretty small market.
Yeah. Is it WTHI? Is that?
I think WTHI, I think, is our country station.
Do you work with Elise Evans? She does the news? No?
I'm not on TV there. I'm doing the...
But
you
know
radio.
Who I'm talking about. That she
yes, I know who that. Is that on Channel 10?
I think so.
Because I'm still... I'm relatively new there. I'm still... But, okay. Let's talk paychecks for a minute. Not yours specifically, but what are some of the upper tier anchors? And what's John Stare? What do you think in your mind John Stare over Channel 13 is pulling in a year?
Ballpark.
A lot more than me. I would think six figures. I don't know for
sure.
Okay.
See, that actually surprised me. I heard he signed $1 million contract.
Oh, no way.
No way?
In this market. No.
Because there are some radio folks, and us radio folks are less talented than TV folks, and they make well into six figures.
Dave Calabro's not making a mil?
No way.
You don't think so?
Not in this market.
Okay. All right. Then I must be way off then.
You are. There's nobody making seven.
Okay,
yeah, not in this
so
market.
What, mid no. six figures then? I mean,
I don't
probably...
know. I know it's in the six figures, but I couldn't answer that question. I will say that of all the stations, they're the best. They're the ones that pay the best.
Channel 13?
Yes.
Nice.
WTHR.
I've heard that actually before. I've interviewed
of all the TV stations.
Channel 13, and what they offered me was fantastic.
Really?
I didn't get hired at the time, but I was like, holy shit, I was praying I got that gig at the time.
Yeah, there's no, you're not going to make it. That's another thing. It's like if you're not going to make $1 million in this business. There's just
unless you go to New York or L.A. Come on. You're making a mil there.
And that's changing.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's just like radio then. People were making a lot
changing.
Of money.
Changing. Yeah, that's changing a lot.
You get to a plateau and then you get cut off.
Radio in the 80s and 90s where, they were a lot of the revenue was coming. But now there's hundreds of channels on TV. The revenue is spread out more and people aren't making that much money.
So what are you doing now? What are you doing now for a paycheck?
GeneRodriguez.com?
No. I will be starting to work with the city next week.
Okay. Doing what?
I will be the public relations manager for the Department of Public Safety.
Ooh, okay. So when somebody gets ran over by a steamroller, you're the one they have to come through, right?
You're on camera.
I won't be on camera. I think you'll talk to the investigator on the scene, but I will kind of manage some of their social media and higher level kind
you'll
of crisis communication.
You'll post the Facebook picture of the guy that got steamrolled.
Yeah, maybe Maybe that. So, and then do that.
But you have a blog now, too, which
I've
been reading lately.
I do, and that's on my own. Yeah, that's on my own. I decided to do something a little different. In the snooze.blogspot.com.
In the snooze.
And we have a link to that on hammerandnigel.com right now. If you click on the ugly monkey photo that we have, Hammer and Nigel, with Jean's fantastic picture on it, click on that link. It'll take you to her blog spot, In the Snooze. And
now, N-I-N-T-H-E.
S-N-E-W-S-Z-Z-Z.com.
Oh, yeah. We better spell that a couple times because I was thinking like S-N-O-O-Z.
No.
Multiple
Z's in there.
And I started it because I wanted to prove that I could write, and I still like to do... I like current events.
You do it every day, right?
I write it every day. And
how's the response been?
Really well. In the beginning, you're just like, 50 people saw my... But I've had, more and more every day.
Good. That's how you
Yesterday's was actually the most viewed. And the funny thing is that I try not to talk about what I did... previously in my career and only every once in a while, but I was watching the local news and seeing how ridiculous some of the coverage was and how there was no practical advice in it and wrote about it. And
Very nice.
A lot of people seem to like that one.
I mean,
had the most views.
You don't get that kind of perspective, I don't think, for somebody that's actually been in the media there and maybe you're not necessarily sitting there criticizing, but you're
thinking, it's just like,
it's more opinion based now.
Yeah, it could have been more useful than what it was. It wasn't very useful.
Now, one of the articles you have on your blog now is about John Mayer.
Oh, yeah.
Now, explain something to me.
Oh, God.
I'm not what you'd call
Let me say this before you start this. Now, I try to talk about current events that impact the world, our nation, our state, and then there's the entertainment stuff. So I try to make it interesting to just about anybody.
And John Mayer would certainly fall in the entertainment category.
Right, not in the world events category.
I'm 33 years old. I'm a native Hoosier. I've got a college education, but explain something to me. What the hell does John Mayer do to warrant the chicks that he has had sex with? Because
he's a rock star.
Are you kidding me?
But of all the other rock stars that are out there, this dude is in the Man Show Hall of Fame.
I don't know.
Of some of the ladies
I think
that
a
he
lot
has
of,
with.
I mean,
Do you find John Mayer attractive?
I do.
Oh, I'm sure.
I
find him attractive.
However,
Jesus Christ, he's got a head like a drive-in movie. Have you seen this thing? You could watch an IMAX thing on that fucker.
However, I don't think that I would want my personal life being told on Twitter or on whatever.
Didn't he delete his Twitter? I thought
he
that
did.
He did
after, of course, the Diary of the Mouth about Jessica Simpson.
The sexual napalm about Jessica Simpson. Did you ever read that article?
Oh yeah, she was like, her vagina was like a nuclear device.
Yes.
Right? I mean, basically, is what he said in that article. But how can you? Are you serious? How does he get so? Are you kidding me? How
look
does he
at
get
some
asked?
Of the look at some of the famous athletes, actors, celebrities that are out there. And yes, John Mayer is talented, but for what he's pulling, I think it's well above his level.
He's huge.
No, he's a rock star.
Yeah, he's huge. Sorry, he's I mean,
I could see somebody like Usher or Tom Brady making that happen.
And as much as I don't want to admit it, he's a damn good guitar player too. He's very good bluesy guitar player. What was the article about, by the way, that you wrote about John Mayer?
Oh, he's trying to get rid of his bad boy reputation, and so he thinks that to do that he has to hire a whole new management team.
Oh my God.
Not change his behavior, I guess.
You know, the management team is hot, buxom blondes.
It's the management team that he's got to change, not quite his behavior.
You know, he shouldn't have got
that.
So
my moral of the story was a John Wooden quote about character and how character is really what he has to concentrate on and not so much the reputation. So.
Wow. Well, you know, if he wanted to, he shouldn't have got such a cool tattoo sleeve.
Didn't he bang Taylor Swift?
No.
Wasn't that the rumor for a while?
Well, she wrote a song about him. I don't know if she banged him, though.
No, that was Tim McGraw. Right? She wrote the song about Tim McGraw.
No.
When I think Tim McGraw, I think about you. Don't tell me nobody's ever heard of that song. Gene, you haven't heard of that?
You're on
BS?
Your own on that one,
no.
Skippy.
BS?
No, I haven't heard about that.
The Tim McGraw song. When you think Tim McGraw, I think about you all night long.
Mm-mm.
I hate all of you.
I think you're making
Andy, have you heard of that?
Now.
You know what song I'm talking about? The Tim McGraw song that Taylor Swift wrote?
I know the December one that's out now,
yeah,
but I don't know.
About
never mind.
Taylor Lautner.
Forget it.
Yeah.
Forget it. I'm sorry. You know what? How do we get on this subject?
I had a dream about Taylor Swift and how she banged my dad the other night. Did I tell you about that?
Yikes.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, I didn't see the act, but my dad was bragging to me about it. Then I woke up. I don't know what that means.
That is, let's ask Jean what she did for the 2 days she was trapped indoors. For Tuesday and Wednesday, you were trapped in your house probably, right?
I blogged
you
and
blog
I watched
lot.
TV.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of TV. I'm obsessed with television. I DVR everything. And
you like reality shows?
Your wife? Oh,
some,
no.
Some. And then, I like some reality shows, but I love CSI and I love Law & Order SVU. I love crime stories, which is good because that's what I'll be doing.
Gene, do you watch the Kim and the Kardashians or whatever it's called
in
New York City?
I did watch that. You know what? I hadn't until today. I watched a couple of episodes.
Okay,
of that.
Did you watch the one? And the only reason, this is one of the miserable things why I am, you know, I love being hanging out with my wife. She's my best friend. I love it. But the 2 days we were together, man, it's all DVR'd reality shows on both our DVR boxes. And she turned on this one show called, I don't know, it's The Kardashians in New York,
Meet
right?
Manhattan. Mm-hmm.
What's the official title of it?
I think it's The Kardashians Go to Manhattan or Meet Manhattan or something like that.
Kim Kardashian made me want to rip my hair out. I don't know if it's the same episode where she freaked out that she did this photo shoot.
Oh, yeah, the nude photo shoot. So she gets naked for a photo shoot, and then she gets pissed off because they published the naked photo.
No. I mean, it wasn't just that. She had, like, silver body paint on, and she was under the impression that when the photos are published, she's going to have,
right.
like, all these sorts of this artwork posted over her bosom and her butt. Did I just say bosom?
Bosom. How very classy of you, Nigel.
So anyway, Hammer, in this episode, this Kim Kardashian.
Right.
The magazine is published, and she freaks out. Flips out, tears streaming down her eyes. I'm going to fire my management. I can't believe they published photos. You can see my nipple. Bitch.
She did a sex tape, didn't she?
I've seen
it.
She signed a waiver for that show to fucking air, too.
I couldn't, but she was getting, it made me crazy. She got so pissed off. I'm like, whore, I've seen a man penetrate you.
Right.
I've seen this with my own eyes.
For the love of Ray J.
I've seen a big black man's dong enter your beef and cheddar, okay? And you're getting so pissed off. It's making me crazy now that she got so pissed off that she, because, there they showed a nipple. My nipple showed in this. It makes me, that show made me hate humanity.
Yeah.
It makes me hate. Well, I'm getting worked up thinking about it right now.
And mind you, she made who knows how much on that spread.
The sex tape? Oh, that. Was that for Vogue or something?
It was for W Magazine.
And I saw the photos of that online. She looks awful. I thought she looked, that shows her back, it shows her ass. And
although Kim Kardashian naked's like pizza. Sometimes it's not as good as it always is, but it's never bad.
But it's like,
if you can get a naked Kim K, I think you got to take that and fucking run with it.
Gene, have you seen the photos that I'm talking about?
I'm sorry.
Okay, because there's this one.
I didn't Google it.
There's this one, and it's tastefully done, quote unquote. It's in like a high-end magazine. Maybe you see your nipple, but it's painted silver. But they show her backside, and if they would have blacked out her head and her torso and just showed the ass and you had to guess whose ass it was, I would have guessed Jerome Bettis.
No
her
way.
Ass it did not
no
look
way.
It did not turn me on. It did not look good at all. So I'm sorry, you talked about reality shows and you and my wife probably watched some of the same stuff.
Ain't nothing wrong with the curvy Kim K. I'm just throwing that out.
No, but the fact that she got so pissed off and so upset and she's talking about firing her management because a nipple showed in a photo shoot when
that would be kind of like the whole John Mayer thing of firing his management for his bad behavior.
Please,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, please write about that in your next.
Now the Kardashians were down in Miami last year and we talked about a little bit this earlier before we went on air. We were both in Miami last year for the Super Bowl, Indianapolis, getting ready for the big event next year. We've both covered an event. We've both been down in Miami. What can Indianapolis expect next year? Like, for those who've never been to a Super Bowl and seen all the celebrity bull crap that goes along with it, what can the city expect?
Well, I was supposed to cover all of the celebrity stuff. Well,
right.
Celebrities have a different work schedule than you and I do. So they don't really go out until like 2 in the morning. So we're going to see a lot of those celebrity parties really getting started at 11, but then celebrities not arriving until 2, and then that cool. So there'll be a whole like culture that's overnight culture. And then one thing that I loved was the fact that they closed off the streets and it was party atmosphere all over.
Right.
I'm
in favor of it being in Miami every single year.
A lot of money coming in, and I don't think that we will have quite what Miami had because of the weather issue.
Right.
But we can expect a lot of partiers.
Well, I mean, it's huge for Indiana what's happening now in Dallas because it's freezing. It's 14 degrees.
We're getting a good test run here. And by the way, you said about parties. Did you see the footage of Ben Roethlisberger in the piano bar last night or Tuesday night?
No.
Singing Piano Man? No, he's partying. There was like
he was partying it up.
Shocker.
Gene, it was like an $800 tab. He bought rounds for everybody.
Oh,
he was
really?
Boozing it up, left a $200 tip, and there's video footage of him with two other Pittsburgh Steelers singing Piano Man.
What was he thinking?
You know, you got to say, I mean, I don't know, Hammer, what do you think? I mean, Peyton Manning would not, I don't think Peyton Manning went out and clubbed it up in Miami.
No, he would just get everybody to come to his place.
No, that's not his nature, though. And
no,
he's
his
probably
nature
doing
is to get everybody to come to his place.
Exactly.
And then collect your cameras and cell phones at the door. That's
very
just
good
what
policy.
Happens.
Very good policy. But you know what? Ben's always done that. If he's not banging chicks in the bathroom, he's out drinking. And he's won 2 Super Bowls doing that, so why would he stop?
Is that your pick for the Super Bowl, bud?
You know what? If the Steelers are getting points, and my gambling degenerate friend Chris is here. Chris, come on over here in the mix. He was in the Super Bowl with me last year down in Miami. The gambling for the Super Bowl is huge, and if the Steelers are getting points, damn, it's hard not to take the Steelers getting points. I mean, I'm rooting for Green Bay, and I really don't want to hear about how Ben Roethlisberger's got 3 Super Bowl rings and how he's better than Peyton, but
man, I don't want to hear that.
Damn, it's hard to go against Pittsburgh in this game.
Yeah, hard to go against Pittsburgh. As a Green Bay fan, though, I'm a little bit biased. But you have to look at it as a gambling degenerate of where the points are. At 2.5, you could see, because this is really a coin flip game. So at 2.5, you could see a Mason Crosby game-winning field goal. Packers get the cover at the last second. If it's 3 or 3.5, then it can be a little bit dicey.
Now, one thing I want to bring up, and Gene brought this up earlier, a lot of the A-list celebrities at these Super Bowls go out late at night. Now, we were down in South Beach last year. We made a trip to the Hard Rock Seminole, which is the same place where Anna Nicole Smith kicked it. And I was trying to get my picture by the actual room for my Facebook profile page, which they wouldn't let me do.
That's very tasteful.
Fuck you. And Lawrence Taylor and Michael Irvin were partying together.
Oh,
now, if you don't know anything about
I got to interview
these
Michael
two
Irvin.
Individuals.
You did?
Yeah.
They are some of the most coke-sniffing, womanizing, barely legal sex with men you're going to find on God's green earth. And talk about the entourage that you saw walking in.
Well, yeah, in walking in, all of a sudden we were like, wait, who is that? And all of a sudden it was the playmaker with a whole bunch of people and a very frazzled Drew Rosenhaus. We thought, you know, hey, wow. It's great to be a sports agent. You know, you
no
get to
kidding.
Follow all these guys around. You get to make all these money. You get to be down at the Super Bowl. I'm guaranteeing that that was the worst night of Drew Rosenhaus's life. He's trying to keep
those guys.
He's trying to keep 15-year-old hookers out of the room.
Yeah, but wait a minute. You know, the playmaker's on the straight and narrow, though, isn't he? I mean,
But LT was around too.
Oh,
so if
okay.
LT's
well,
around,
if LT's that, around,
that's a bad influence because there's going to be coke and 15-year-old hookers. Let's just face it.
Which, by the way, LT got off scot-free.
Scot-free for banging a 15-year-old hooker.
No, she was 16, dude. Come on.
Sorry, that makes a world of difference. Good God. And speaking of hookers, and I don't know how we're going to go off on this, but have you heard the Charlie Sheen story?
Yes.
How he's toothless and has spent $500,000 the last 6 months on prostitutes and drugs.
Coke, I heard about the coke and prostitutes, but not toothless. What are you talking about?
A hooker went out.
Yeah, evidently the drug use has rotted the teeth out of his
mouth. Oh, my dear Lord.
So now he has, like, gold teeth and veneers and ceramics.
Did you know, I didn't know, Charlie Sheen has a 25-year-old daughter that he had when he was 19.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And her last name is Estevez.
Right.
Because that's his real last name.
Now, I wrote this today, and I posted it on Facebook and Twitter, and it was a huge hit. And I'm just going to say it now, and it'll be done with. This is a joke that I wrote. I almost sent it into Letterman, but... The last time I saw this much snow was at a Charlie Sheen party in Vegas last week.
That's a man that enjoys his blow. Yeah.
What do you think about that line, Gene? Come on.
It's funny.
Come on.
It's
all right. Hey, look. I just got the approval from Gene Rodriguez.
You should send it to Letterman. Yeah.
There was so much sarcasm in that last statement from Gene that I'm going to have to bash this beer bottle over my head. You should send that to Letterman.
Ooh, speaking of bashing beer bottles, last year, and again, not to beat a dead horse here, but while we were at the Super Bowl last year.
Tell us again how you were at the Super Bowl last year.
Well, Gene Rodriguez was covering it for Wish.
Okay. Yes.
I was sharing a room with some of the most sweaty, stinky bastards on God's green earth,
okay.
And Dave Smiley and the Weed Man. And we saw Queen Latifah out clubbing and dude, she was bashing beer bottles on the pavement, looking mannish.
You
saw remember
the queen?
That? She was at some fancy restaurant down in South Beach, and she looked like Michael Clark fucking Duncan.
Are you sure it wasn't him you saw? Because I saw him.
He was there too.
Yes, he was.
But the queen didn't have makeup on, and she was like Kimbo Slice. Man, she
Google,
was ready
if
to
you don't
throw
know who
down.
Michael Clark Duncan is, just Google it. Just Google image that.
Green Mile.
Yeah.
Green Mile. Right.
There you go. Green
right,
Mile.
Right, exactly.
Now, when I saw him, though, I thought I was the first one to spot him of my group, and he was valet parking at the Gansevoort, the hotel down on South Beach. And I didn't know. I get a little starstruck. You know, I'm like,
right.
Oh, my God, I know who that is. So I was like, oh, my God, look, I know who that is. He's from the Green Mile. And he turns around, because I guess he heard me say that, and he smiles at me, and I'm like, can I get a picture? He goes, oh, yeah, come on. He took a picture with every single person in my group.
Well, that's cool.
Oh, wow.
Out in the front where he was waiting for his car to get valet parked.
Who's is the voice legit? Is the voice legit?
Oh, God, yeah. Okay. He is a big guy, and he's like,
so.
Yeah. I imagine him a little bit bigger, but then you got to think, you know, all those Hollywood guys are kind of small.
Now,
so.
who's the most famous person in your mind that you've ever had the chance to interview or
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe.
That one comes in mind right away.
Was he a complete dickhole?
No, he wasn't.
Really?
He does come across that way, but I've heard...
2 days before the... Remember when he threw the telephone at a guy in a hotel in New York?
Right.
He was here like a couple days before for the race, and I interviewed him here. And... the one thing I remember most was how kind he was to me, because I like literally ran up to him and did a live interview, and I went to hold his hand to grab him to come towards me, and he says to me, of course I'm going to have an awful accent when I say this, he goes,
yes.
Watch it, love, I've got a cigarette. And I was like, oh my God, I go, oh, okay, because he had a cigarette in his hand that I was trying to grab to pull him towards me.
You know he's from Australia, not
yeah,
England,
not
right?
England, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm telling you, that's my Australian / English / Welsh / Irish accent.
But that's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
Russell Crowe's a pretty cool cat.
And he
that's smelled a pretty good
so good. I just remember he smelled so good. He'd just gotten out of the shower
But at the same time, he was cool with you because you're a pretty girl. If that were Nigel or I
don't know.
Fucking wake up.
I had been up since 4 in the morning. I was not looking quite that good. I had been up since 4 in the morning. It was the last interview I had, so.
That's pretty cool. Yeah,
it was
Russell
pretty
Crowe,
cool. He was very, very kind
to me. The Gladiator
is huge.
And
I did not get that whole, he's a jerk.
Some of the other people you've had the chance to talk to.
Oh, you know who was a real jerk? I can't remember his name, but I know what he did. He had the masturbation scene in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. What's
Judge his name? Reinhold.
That's it. Jerk.
Judge Reinhold was a jerk?
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, such a jerk.
What'd he do?
Well, because I mean, like, what's he doing now, right?
Well, he was the close talker in an episode of Seinfeld.
That's about it, right?
Right.
So I was asking about
vice
what are his new projects.
Yes, I was just thinking of vice versa.
I was saying, I was like, Fred Savage. You know, we might, like, it was a live interview, and I said, you know, we all know you from blah, blah, blah. And so what are you doing now? Well, that was blah, blah, blah years ago.
Oh, so you didn't
recognize
him. Oh,
you're one of those guys.
You didn't know
his.
Well, he was in the Beverly Hills Cop. Judge Reinhold was
for heaven's
one,
sake,
two, and three.
How does everybody know him, though? The masturbation scene in Fast Times.
He was Brad Hamilton beating off to Phoebe Cates. Absolutely.
Right. I mean, it's like, you know, you can't really. It's like, I'm sorry, geez. Sorry, I don't know what you're doing right this second. Jerk. But I've met some nice people. I mean, like, Gloria Estefan was the nicest person I've ever. She signed everybody's autograph. Hundreds of people out there, and she stayed out there for hours to sign all the autographs in Miami Beach.
Did you ever meet Burt Reynolds?
Oh, my God.
No, but I would have loved to.
How awesome would that be?
You could still meet. He's not dead. You could still meet him.
I know. Well, but what are the chances?
Did Wish send you out on all those press junkets? Like,
no,
did you ever fly out?
Because, you know, that's all entertainment stuff now. So they don't invest in all of that anymore.
Wow.
And Patty Spittler used to do it.
Yeah, Spittler used to interview everybody.
Oh, yeah, she knows everybody. She's been to, like, famous people's weddings. The other day she was talking about Larry King's wedding. She went to Larry King's wedding, this last wife.
Which one?
The last one, number eight. Yeah, whatever.
Now I want to go back to something that Gene said earlier that I just kind of picked up on and it clicked in on me. Have you been to a party with Peyton Manning before? Is that what he makes people do?
No, but
now let's yes.
no.
Let's revisit this. We
no,
were talking
I have
about,
not. Yes, he does.
we were talking about. I don't know what we were talking about exactly,
about
but you
how,
were like
yeah.
you were like Peyton Manning would just have people to his place and take their cell phones mm-hmm. and cameras.
Right.
How do you know that?
I've heard.
You could admit that you've been to Peyton.
No, I haven't been to any of his parties.
You've never been to Casa de Manning?
I was invited to one once, and I didn't go because, I don't know, I was being lame and wanted to go home.
That's very
lame. Yeah, it's totally lame, isn't it?
You get invited to Peyton Manning's house, you go.
Yeah.
That almost built your street cred, though, that you said no.
Yeah,
I kind of was like, I'm tired, I'm going home.
What'd you do last night? I told Peyton Manning to go fuck himself. Had a girl.
So I did not go to that party, but I have heard that pretty much. He has his own little confidentiality thing going on, which, you know what? Let it be. I mean, that's how it should be, right?
It's better than taking chicks in the bathroom like some Super Bowl quarterbacks do from time to time.
And by the way, that's a rumor. The confidentiality thing with Peyton Manning, right?
Oh.
That's a rumor.
Oh, you're talking about the phones and stuff? Or they don't have to sign anything, no. Is that what you're asking? Are you asking,
okay,
do people have to sign?
I'm talking about
the walk of shame the next day is an autographed picture.
Never mind. I'm thinking of something.
I think I know what you're talking about, but I don't know anything about that, so.
What was I going to ask? What are you doing Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, for the Super Bowl? What are your plans?
I have a friend who's having a party, so I'll probably... Actually, he's my trainer, so... He and his girlfriend are having some people over.
I bet she hates you. I bet she wants to punch you in the face.
Oh, no. She's really nice.
I bet.
Now, you should call Nigel because he just joined Curves, and he's been trying to lose some weight.
I did not join Curves. Can I have a beer, please, by the way, Adam?
Yeah.
Do you need more money?
He's working on his figure right now. Give him a beer.
I joined Weight Watchers for Men.
For men.
Hammer loves it. It has four men after it.
Anything that has four men at the end.
Look at Jean looking at her watch like, all right, can we wrap this up now?
No, no, I wasn't, but okay, whatever.
All right, Jean, what are you working on in the blog tomorrow?
I don't know. We have to see what happens. I mean, one of the more interesting things, which I know everybody's like, okay, enough is enough on this Middle East thing, but what's happening in Egypt right now will probably change the landscape of that entire Middle East.
Right.
And it was all started by one man in Tunisia and his protest for a better economy and more democratic government. So all of these other neighboring countries have decided that, you know what, we all need democracy. So that'll really change the landscape. I know it sounds really boring from for this show.
No, it doesn't, because from what I hear, that's a grassroots campaign. Like,
it is.
The mother
one
of all
man
social networking
right
there. Lit
himself on fire, which is the ultimate protest in that country, Tunisia, to protest the fact that he could not get a permit to sell fruit.
So he
and
lit
he
himself
was poor,
on fire,
unemployed.
Naturally.
All he wanted to do was be an entrepreneur.
Which is the next step, logically.
Self-immolation.
So he, yeah.
So did...
And now that has sparked all these revolutions.
I take it he didn't survive?
No, he died 4 or 5 days later.
That's a really dumb question.
Yeah, it was sad.
Well, Jane, wow.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you very much. If
we're going to end on that happy burning yourself alive story.
No, you know what I thought was funny is that, you know, all these American journalists go over there, Anderson Cooper, and then get
yeah,
the
he got his ass whooped. Did you see that video?
I didn't see. I read about that. What happened exactly? Did he really
see.
Get hit?
Yes. Yeah. They don't like Americans over there.
Anderson Cooper got punched.
Oh, like 10 times in the
That's
head.
That's hilarious.
And I'm sad that it wasn't by like me.
Anyway.
I'm sure you are.
Before we get off, we talked about this in the walkover.
Yeah.
Would it be asking too much for you to talk dirty to me in Spanish? Because
oh,
I know you're
God's
fluent.
For God's sake.
I don't know about dirty, but te puedo decir que te quiero mucho y gracias por esta oportunidad y espero regresar pronto, muy pronto.
That's translation. I'm bored out of my fucking mind.
No.
In this godforsaken barcast now. Gene, if we could have you out every week, we would.
Okay.
It's been a pleasure.
It's
and
so
if you
awesome.
Come back.
Okay.
Okay.
It's so awesome. Okay.
She's not committing. She's saying, okay. Okay.
No, I will come back. I will
come back.
I do.
She's
like
never coming back
no,
again.
No, I'm coming back. If I get invited, I'm coming.
Ladies and gentlemen, Gene Rodriguez is right here.
Round of applause. Woo! Clap, you son of a bitch. Okay.
Before we get off the air, Big Nigel, I want to talk about some things on our website right now at hammerandnigel.com. Obviously, you can find Gene Rodriguez's blog attached there. Just click on the picture of the ugly monkey and Gene. It'll take you right there.
What's this Rip Nigel Tuesday? Who thought of that genius idea?
I thought it would be a fun way to interact with our listeners and our fans to have a segment where they could get something off their chest. So we started Rip Nigel Tuesday on our website.
When you say our fans, you mean BS?
BS and Chris Mullane. And the premise is, if you're pissed off about something, whether it's your boss, your wife, anything, you can take it off on you because you don't give a shit.
Take it out on me.
And, you know, it makes everybody else feel better.
So now, so people did rip me?
Yes. The following are some of the better comments from Rip Nigel Tuesday.
I believe I saw one on there from your wife. That was
Crystal H in Indianapolis. Nigel is a fucking fat ass, and I hope he gets raped by a mule.
Ah, well,
now this is what we're talking
the,
about with Rip Nigel Tuesday, which, by the way, is now a weekly event.
I understand. I see the hammer charm spreads in
and we're fucking
and
parents
husband.
Too.
How did she feel? By the way, how did Mrs. Hammer feel about you describing your sexual encounters in detail to the orifice?
We reenacted it that night.
Oh, okay, good.
She was turned on. Bernadette B. writes, I hope you get hit by a Mack truck and die a horrible case of gonorrhea, you low-life piece of donkey crap.
Who? What bitch wrote that?
Marcus J. writes, here goes. Damn it, Nigel, what the hell are you doing with your career in broadcasting? Everybody knows Hammer carries the show. You're about as useful as closed captioning for a porn video. Every time I see your name in print, it reminds me of a gay butler on a reality shitty show in the BBC from the 70s.
Do you like that one?
You know, like the folks that ignore every time FYI does a pledge drive. If I were suicidal...
Oh, my God, how long is this?
I wish you were a bridge so I could jump off on your fat, ugly ass.
You know,
Marcus.
Marcus, you could kiss my ass, but here is, you know, my favorite one that was left was from Brett Wathen. Do you have that on there?
Brett W. states, the only thing I have against Nigel is he hangs out with a douchebag called Hammer.
Yes.
So even I took some
I
abuse
like that.
On a Rip Nigel Tuesday.
I like that.
Our listener polls that we've had online this past week, according to the people that listen to this podcast, this barcast, 57% of them would rather watch their parents screw for 30 minutes, and 43% of them would rather wear Rosie O'Donnell's post-Thanksgiving panties as a ski mask for just 15 minutes.
Wait, so that was the choice you were given? That was the poll?
Yes,
the poll
watch
question?
Your parents bang for a half hour or wear Rosie's Thanksgiving skid marks for 15.
Okay, I had nothing to do with either of those either of those poll questions.
And the poll that's up right now, what's more important during a winter storm, beer or porn? Before we got on air, we checked it, and it was 75% in favor of beer.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I got all the porn I need up here.
Exactly. As long as you've got a great imagination, you know.
But you can't just come up with beer.
Exactly. You can't make your own beer just out of nothing.
Did you have to go to work this week?
I did. I went one day this week.
Just one day?
Of the 2 days that everybody was off, I went one day, and I worked from home one day. So.
Wow.
Shelby County, where I work, was a state of emergency, but I still had to make it in one day to do my office work. And I was dealing with a lot of people who were upset that they couldn't make it to where I work.
No, I saw that on the Indiana Live Facebook page. There are some insane people that were leaving Facebook posts on that. Please check that out. Soupy, you want to come up here real quick? Come on up here, Soupy.
The owner of the Ugly Monkey.
As is customary, at the end of each broadcast here, the second broadcast. Soupy, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing great.
We got karaoke rocking tonight.
Yep. 50 Cent Bud Lights all night.
How do you do? I don't understand the 50 Cent Bud Lights.
It's like a lost leader, you know. It's like you draw them in and then you trick them into buying some shots.
Well, you've already tricked me into buying a couple here right? Before the broadcast even started. So it does. I can't hammer it. The 50 Cent. I mean, you can't find beer specials.
And it's not like
30
it's that
years ago.
That crappy
were that
50 Cent like draft stuff that you wring out with a dish rag.
Yeah,
these are fucking Bud Light long.
You're
neck
not serving them cents. In plastic.
They're not
cups.
The little mini 7 ounces. It's a 12-ounce long neck.
Okay. And then what's going on here this weekend, man? Anything good?
You know, it's going to be a big party. I think everybody's going to have cabin fever and want to come out for Bud Lights tomorrow night.
Karaoke still going on tonight?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Karaoke will be going on tonight.
Tell us all about it
till 3 a.m.
Pretty soon we're going to have a couple people on the Hammer and Nigel podcast that you know that work here.
You know, we were going to have Allie Chapman.
She's a little gal.
Have her talk to you. She's a littlest bartender in Indianapolis. She's 41 inches tall and... She's a big movie star, and when she's not off making movies or making commercials, she bartends here at the Monkey for us. So
yeah, let's get her
she's getting
on.
Ready, she's getting ready to do a comedy show, too. My friend Ed Jones, his name's Party Man Ed, they're doing a comedy show here on February 19th. He and Allie are. And so that's going to be really big.
Oh, yeah, we got to get them on, Hammer.
Absolutely. I'm down for that. I'm ready for the little star, so to speak.
Well, I appreciate you having us, letting us come in and set up shop for
always
half hour, 45 minutes. How long are we going on, BS? Is
this 50.
50 minutes.
Again?
We tried to make it 30 minutes tonight. That was our goal.
We did. Our goal was 30 minutes.
It's all right. You can go as long as you want, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, we just, you know, we want to leave them wanting more. End on a high note, like George Costanza.
So instead, we left on Gene Rodriguez telling a story about a guy burning alive. And Chris Moline, friend of the show, come up here. Your job right now is to come up with a toast for all these drunkards listening right now to come up and drink with.
All right. Everybody raise your glass.
Raise your glass, everybody. Hey, do you do the karaoke? Come here.
All right.
All right.
Here is two fat hookers, fake boobies, the Green Bay Packers, the Ugly Monkey, and Hammer's syphilis finally going away.
Yeah. Hair, 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 hair.
Cheers. On the syphilis finally going away. That's great.
Finally being the key word.
I like that, Chris. That was very good.
Special thanks to Soupy for having us out again tonight. Our man, BS, holding it down over here.
Yes, thank you very much, BS. Should we have the guy that does the karaoke on real quick before we
bring
get
the karaoke guy up here real quick?
You're doing the karaoke, right, sir? Have a seat there. What's your name?
Mark Knoll.
Mark?
Yep.
And what's a karaoke night here at Ugly Monkey called? Do you have a name for your...
No. Just fun.
So this is your gig. I mean, you got the equipment. You host the thing. You sing.
I sing.
All right.
I try to. Anyway.
Later on the night for karaoke, Gene and I are going to do the dirtiest version of Salt and Pepper's Push It you've ever seen.
Excellent. I like it. I'm always up for that kind of fun.
Awesome. All right. Now, what are some of the typical songs you sing? Because you, as a karaoke host master...
Right.
You have to get the crowd into it, and you have to prime the crowd. So if nobody's really willing, ready and willing at the beginning to come up and sing karaoke, you have to sing. What
Correct.
Are some of your favorites?
A lot of it has to depend on what's going on at the time. You know, I might start off with like Slip Sliding Away Tonight, something like that. So
wait a minute, what's Slip Sliding Away Tonight? What is that?
What is that?
No, Slip Sliding Away.
Who sings that?
Paul Simon.
Paul Simon.
Paul Simon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like everybody's looking at this like, you don't know who's saying Slip Sliding Away.
I know Baby I Got Back as Sir Mix-a-Lot, and that's about it.
If you would have said Vanilla Ice, Ice Ice Baby, and I would have known what you were talking about.
And actually, I kind of played that the other night, too, okay. So it was very appropriate.
All right.
All that kind of stuff.
Okay, so come check out Karaoke Night after the Hammer Nigel Barcast every night here Thursday. Thank you very much, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Really appreciate it. We'll get out of your way here. We'll get out of your way here. We appreciate it. All right, Hammer.
Thank you, everybody, for listening tonight. Hammerandnigel.com. Check the website constantly. Nigel's great at putting together stupid videos. We're having polls on there all the time. Fun, interactive pictures. Check out the website, hammerandnigel.com.
And thank you very much, Gene Rodriguez. I'm
absolutely
very happy, very impressed with Gene. Very nice. Easily the biggest guest we've had on here in the two shows.
Completely. And you look at all the assholes we've had on the night, like that guy right over there.
Like Chris Moline.
Chris Moline from the WNDE Sports Center. It was awesome of Gene to come down and, once again, sweat from his balls, BS, making it happen tonight.
Thank you very much, BS. Next Thursday, we have to have this guy on right here.
What Raise about that guy?
That guy right there. That guy's name's Andy. I actually had that guy as a camp. I was a camp counselor, and he was my...
Did you molest him? We'll talk about that next week.
We'll
That's our tease.
That
That's our tease for next week.
That's the bit. Let's leave him out. Did Nigel molest?
Why is this
camper?
Why is this guy touching a doll? Find out next week on the Hammer and Nigel Barcast.
Thank you for showing up, guys.
Thank you, everybody. Good night, everybody.
The Hammer and Nigel Show, a product of Dead Radio Entertainment.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.